Well, welcome to worship. Good to have you here. For those of you who are joining us online, in your living rooms, on walks, wherever you are, whatever day you're engaging us is a part of worship. For those of you in the room, it's neat each week that the crowd grows a little bit more. Glad you got your mask, and we're coming together, beginning to be community right here in this place, and it's good to have you. For those who are worshiping online, I want to continue to encourage you, find your COVID-free communities and gather them in your home to worship with other people and share together. It's an exciting time. And wasn't it awesome, these folks joining today? Each month we have new folks that are coming through, engaging in the life of ministry. We also have four baptisms this afternoon at the lake that we'll be sharing at 4 o'clock. So I want you to be praying for them as well. Debbie Mann, who you saw, Edward Wesley, Stephen West, that's a name, Noelle Marie Cook and Nancy Ridgway, all will be sharing this afternoon. So be praying for them. Exciting time. If you want to come and be a part of that, catch up with us right out of the worship in the lobby, and you will meet somebody who can tell you where that's at, get you directions, etc. And we'll look forward to celebrating with you this afternoon. We're taking a break from our Justice series. We'll start back on that next week. But I want to share with you a little bit on my heart for vision as we celebrate this Vision Sunday with new members' baptisms and these reveals around our Act to Thrive vision. Now, there's probably nothing more exciting for me in my life than to see someone connect to Jesus and their life be changed. Nothing more exciting. And I would encourage you to think about the same. In fact, it's something that I've spent 32 years of ministry about. It's been the investment of my life, my financial resources, and my family. Seeing people connect to Jesus Christ and their lives change. Why is that so important? Why is this so dear to the heart? Because it's dear to the heart of God. God wants everyone in heaven. God created them. And our pathway to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And not only do we get to heaven through Jesus Christ, but he transforms our lives and our souls and our families and our hearts in the way that we go about life here, that maybe a little of heaven begins to be life-giving flowing out of us. When you see the mission on the wall that we share, to have the life-giving message of Jesus so we can experience God, find our personal freedom, make a difference, discover our purpose, and make a difference in the world. You see, when the Lord Jesus lives in your life and my life, life changes, and our communities change, our families change, and that's what he calls us to. Now, a couple years ago, in 2018, we began to revisit what God has called us to be about. And I think that's true for everybody. I think it's sometimes important for you to revisit your marriage. Why did God call us together? Why did we say I do on that day long ago? And say, okay, God, you're calling us to your families, your community. I think the same is true for a church. To pause out of ministry a little bit and say, what has God called us to do? And let's reflect and gather back on that. So in 2018, we did a deep dive into that. We began to gather together and had literally hundreds of conversations around the vision and the mission God was calling us to be. The community around us had changed radically. When we stepped on site here in Steel Creek, part of Charlotte, and the Fort Mill surrounding area, Clover surrounding area, over 20 years ago, there was only about 10,000 people. Anybody see a little change? It's 12 times that now, and that's just Steel Creek. That didn't count Fort Mill and Lake Wylie and Clover. Radical change has happened in the community, and what the needs of the community has also changed. So we begin to really take a deep dive and say, what does that mean? What does it look like for a church? What improvements do we need to make to a 20-plus-year-old facility? What open doors do we need to be for a church that's seeking to move from being church on Sunday to engaging people's lives in community center every single day? You see, the world has changed. And what does it mean to be a church that's meeting the kind of world in which we live? We called that movement Act to Thrive. Act to Thrive. And we looked at a scripture text that was the heart of what the ministry was. And it goes like this. It's also in your outline for you to study as well. It's from Acts chapter 2. It says, and they, this were the early Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. And all believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, they attended the temple and broke bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, and they praised God with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily, day by day, those who were being saved. Now, it's a powerful image, and I believe there's no clear image in all of the Scripture for what God called the church to be. Literally, the very first Christians who gathered were very close to what Jesus had defined as the church, and they began to live it out, and there were very key characteristics. What it meant to live, what it meant to be devoted to something, to teaching and learning, to fellowship with one another, to breaking bread, which means forgiving, keeping the slate clean, Holy Communion, and to praying, seeking the presence of God in your life. And then we begin to see how the community responded. They would gather together and awe was over them because they were moving together. The power of God and the awe of God was filling their lives, and they were seeing miraculous things done. Let me tell you, when we are living out devotedly those four things, you will see the awe of God be experienced in your life. We see their patterns change in the world in how they understood their belongings. It began to say that they sold their possessions and belonging, distributing as any had need. See, they moved from a world view, which if you say belonging, it belongs to me, to a God view, which means that everything comes from God. They began to see that their homes and their finances and their talents and their abilities all were what God had given to them in order to make a difference in the world. You see, their mind shift changed, and they begin to move together. It says now they had all things in common. So it wasn't an individual, isolated world like we talked about in the Define series. It became a community on a move to change the world. That was the Christian movement. Sometimes in our culture, we can get lost in those things. We get so individualized, we forget that we're called to be a collective movement of Jesus Christ in the world, literally changing the world, not sitting back. And that doesn't happen just on a Sunday morning, does it? It happens because we're engaging all the time. And that's what they learned. And sometimes in our communities, certainly in North America, we've forgotten it. We've forgotten about a rhythm that was critically important. And that's what we revisited when we came together on Act to Thrive. And what was the rhythm? The rhythm that the American church has become is I go to work on Mondays and I show up on Sundays and I worship God and then I go back to my real work. Right? Okay? That's how church is made up in North America. It's a Sunday thing. Or maybe we'll have a Wednesday or maybe we have a program. But what happens when you come and you refill with the Lord Jesus on a Sunday? About Wednesday, you're panting, aren't you? I know I am. Wednesday, the world's got you. And it's like, whoa. That's why we have community groups. See, they learned a rhythm. And what was the rhythm? They engaged the temple how often? Daily. They were coming and going to the temple. They were gathering with each other in generous hearts. See, the movement was like a wave rolling up on the shore, rolling in, rolling out. There was a rhythm of God in their lives and the presence with one another that empowered them with the Spirit that enabled them to live. But in the North American church, we forgot that. We begin to believe that if we could just get a pump up on a Sunday morning, we're all good to go. Anybody with me? But we're not. And that's why we see an almost dead church in North America. We see lots of people gathering, but we don't see a culture changing in the method and ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a reason for that. But when we came back and began to study Act to Thrive, we said, no, wait a minute. The church is called for something different, and we need to lead the way as CTK. Amen? Let's do something different. What does the next 20 years of this church look like in this community? Are we going to continue in the same thing? It's doing okay. Are we going to break out of a pattern? And are we going to get in this rhythm of gathering? So we said, you know, church shouldn't be one day a week. It should be every day. And Wes, it's not all about a building, but where do you gather? You see, there's still a rhythm. Even in the New Testament church, it was a rhythm. They gathered in the temple. They gathered in the synagogue. They were gathering day by day. They were also in their homes, and they were also at work. See, that's the rhythm. So the church hasn't become obsolete. Literally, the buildings of the church hasn't become obsolete. In fact, they become even more important. One thing we've learned in COVID time is we really miss community. Anybody with me? You know, we can have all our homes in the world, but we still need a place to gather with other people. And in this region, there is no place like that unless you're going to go to Target or something, or the grocery store. And then you still got 6 feet right now. So we said, you know, wait a minute, stop. Let's be the church. And let's rethink what this building, what this property, what our lives need to be in this rhythm with God. And what changes do we need to make in order for that to happen? And let's look at 247, because that became very instrumental in what we looked at in this vision. It says in 247 that they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And what was happening? The Lord added to their number, how often? Day by day, not weekly, not people joining once a month or being baptized six times a year, daily. Why? Because there was a rhythm. And as the rhythm flowed in, as the people came and walked out and came in and walked out and came in and walked out, guess what? God was moving and God was working and people were being saved and they were engaging conversations that were life-giving right in the heart of the daily experience. And the Lord was adding. That's the church. Amen? That is the vision of the church. We cannot let that go. And that's what we talked about in 2018 and in 2019, begin to say, okay, how do we begin to put the pieces together? So we started putting those pieces together. But why? I think the thing that we have to be faithful to is what God calls us to. Anybody with me? And I think we all have to evaluate that. When God called Marilyn and I and our family to plant this church many years ago, and we met at Lake Wylie Elementary School, we began to pray, God, what is the vision you have on this church? You see, I don't know about you, but I believe in visions and dreams. I see it throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. I still see it in the lives of people today, that God can literally speak into your heart and mind and he can give you a picture. Meryl and I were down on our knees many times praying, God, show us the vision. How are we to lead what you want us to lead if we can't see what you want us to see? And God then opened up to us a picture. And that picture was as clear to me as me looking at you or you looking at me. Literally, you could look at it and see its various levels of images that God was displaying right before our eyes. And this was the picture. It was the picture of a people gathered in worship. And as they were gathering in worship, the image was me looking out at the people. And this is what the image that God showed. There were literally thousands of people gathered. I don't know how they fit in here, but there were thousands of people gathered together, and they were of every color of skin and nationality and every social economic diversity that was in the community. It was a beautiful sight. Their hands were raised was an image that I saw. They were praising God, and tears were flowing down their faces. All of those images were very clear in what God was calling the church to be. And I'm like, whoa, how is that going to happen, God? That's not the church that I grew up in. I grew up in a church there was only people like me. I grew up in a church that was one economic level and another economic level over here and another one over here. Everybody was in their own little camp and their own little corner. What do you mean? How does this church happen in a world that I live in that is so divided? Silence. You have the picture. So we wrestled. We started worshiping at Lake Wylie School, and as church began to grow, more and more people began to come. The diversities continued to increase. We began a Spanish ministry out of that, and we went to Guatemala for the first time to explore the two ministries. Actually, at that point, there was one, a Casa Verde Bay orphanage. And we went down there at a time by which the orphanage was desperate for food. They were starving. Literally, they had, I don't know, 100 orphans at that time, and they had nothing to feed them. So we were in a prayer vigil with the staff of the orphanage, and we were all gathered in a room. We were speaking English, praying in English. They're praying in Spanish. Many of them were lifting up in tongues we didn't even understand. And then this woman out of nowhere, I didn't know she had any English, she has this broken English, walks up to me as I am praying and says, Pastor Craig, God has given me a picture and a message for you. I'm a little freaked out at that moment because when somebody comes up and says, I got a message from God for you, I'm like, yeah, right. And she says, this is what God said to say. A little suspect, I listen. And she comes out in English. I'm like, I'm not even going to understand what she has to say. She, in English, says, God is pleased with your ministry. Thousands of people will gather. They will be from every nationality and colors of skin. And they will praise God, and their lives will be changed. That is it. And she prayed over me. My legs at this point are pretty weak at the knees. And I sit down and I begin to weep. Because it was the very same picture that God had laid on our hearts 2 years earlier. I think what God knew I needed was confirmation that the vision was clear. And whether he was going to have me, Craig Bollinger, be the one who would lead to the fulfillment of the vision or drive the direction was not clear, but what was clear is the picture. Amen? And for however long God has this church, Christ the King, moving and active in his community, the vision can't change because it's of God. And that vision had three pillars. If you go to our website, you'll hear me talk about the vision and you'll see the three key pillars. We've been living on those pillars ever since. And Active Thrive is calling us to take them to a deeper way. The first one is multi-ethnic. That when we looked out and saw that everybody didn't look the same. That there was a celebration of all this diversity. Not just the color of skin, but even what you make and how you live and how you act was all different. There was transformation. I call it transformative. Tears flowing down their eyes. That what was happening was their lives were being changed. And I think that's the cool thing. I can preach for 30 years, but the Holy Spirit can change your life in an instant. If you just let the Lord Jesus Christ take control of your life, all the words will become power in your heart, and it will transform you like this. Transformation, lives being changed, is critical. The last one was life-giving. That what I saw in the picture were people rejoicing, their lives are being changed. And there was this life-giving. They were coming out of the world hurt and broken and beat down. And they were walking this place going, whoa, it's powerful to be in the presence of God and his people. Amen? That's a church. And that's what God's called the church to be. So in 2018, we went out into the community, began to talk to people about, okay, if we're to be this church that's open 7 days a week, if we're to have a cafe and a community center, what would it mean to you? And people began to share with us real stories. I'm going to change their names, but their stories are the same. Rick. Rick works from home like a lot of people. He's joined this movement to not have to go into work and fight the traffic, but he gets to stay at home and get on his computer and go to work. But it also caused Rick another problem, isolation. Anybody felt that through COVID? We know even more what that means and what that feels like. So as more and more Americans begin to do work in the darkness of their homes, in the isolation of other people, he was longing to, where do I go? Do I go uptown and rent some expensive workplace? And he hears about the gathering place. And he walks in and there's a cafe. He sees at the community table there are other people on their computer doing work. And they begin to engage in conversation automatically. His life begins to be lifted up. He says, you know, I think I can do this day to day because I've got an outlet. I can come to this place a couple hours a day and engage with other people and talk about their work and be able to have my own life lifted up. And then there's Jane. Jane is married. She has three small kids. She gets up in the morning already tired because she's been tired all night getting up after him. She wonders whether she can make it through the day as her husband goes off to work. She wonders often whether she's good enough to do this parenting thing because a lot of days she's wondering whether she wants to continue. She feels a different kind of isolation. I can't get the kids ready to go out anywhere. And where do I take them when I go out if I'm not grocery shopping? And if I'm grocery shopping, one's running one way and the other, and they fill up the grocery cart and there's not enough room. She hears about a gathering place. It's open to the community. She hears that there are other moms struggling like she is, and she walks in one day with her three kids, and she looks around, and there's a bunch of moms sitting together with a cup of coffee. She looks over, and she sees an indoor playground in the middle of winter, and their kids are playing together, and they're watching them through the glass, and they're having conversation, and they're encouraging one another. She sits down, and they say, "Welcome." One of them gets up and gets her a cup of hot chocolate. And they say to her, "Take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. We're with you." It's life-giving. And it's real. I walk with these people every day. There's another one, Alexa. Had conversation with her. She's a single mom. When kids were going to school, which was at that time, she'd get up early in the morning, get her kids ready for the bus stop. Puts them on the bus stop hoping they're going to be okay. She goes to work to try to do her best to keep up her apartment and to put food on her kids' table. She gets home at 6 o'clock at night, and she's completely worn out. The kids have come home from school, and they got homework, but she's got no energy left. It's everything she can do for the next hour to try to get them settled down, and she parks in front of the TV, and she starts to fix some dinner. By the time dinner's over, she's trying to get their baths, get them to bed, and start the next day, day after day after day. Life is stuck. One day she hears about this gathering place. She comes home from work. She loads up the kids and says, "I want to change." She walks for the first time into those doors and looks around, and there's the cafe and there's the community center. And she sits down and grabs a cup of coffee, and she sees other moms like her sitting at a table doing homework. A couple people get up that are helping tutor, and they walk up to her and say, "How can I help you?" And they meet each other, and they sit down together, and they begin to ask about the children, what school, what grade they're in, what homework they have, and they just sit down, and they say, "How can we help?" For the first time, she no longer feels alone. They establish a relationship, and that relationship goes on for months. And there's Robert and Sylvia. Robert and Sylvia move to this community. They spend a career having a dynamic workforce. They've been impactful in the community. They're at the peak of their wisdom, but they're done with their paid work. They've settled in, and they gather together in their community, and every time they go to the community center, it's everybody just like them. It's a wonderful, happy life till they begin to realize, you know, there's got to be more than this. We're not meeting anybody outside of our community. And there's no place to go in the community to meet anybody else unless you go to somebody else's club in their community, which you're not allowed. And they look on the next door ad in their community, and they realize there's a community center opened up. It's called The Gathering Place. So they drop by one afternoon. When they drop by, well, this is what they observe. They walk in the door, they see the cafe, they see the community center, they see a group of older adults playing cards and hanging out together. They also see another group of folks helping kids do homework in the late afternoon. They walk over and they begin to inquire what's going on. And they strike up a conversation with one like Alexa. The next thing they know, they're sitting there helping the person through math. They realize maybe there's more for our lives right now than just hanging out in the retirement community. It's life-giving. That's what it's about. So we know that God puts burdens on our hearts. Often the burdens on our hearts come from the things that we've experienced or lived through. They become sometimes our personal ministry. It may be a ministry to abuse. It may be a ministry to alcoholism. It may be a ministry to sex addicts, it may be a ministry to racial reconciliation, whatever. God puts burdens on our hearts and it becomes a personal ministry. But we know that in the book of Acts, that they had all things in common. That there are times when we're called to be in a common ministry. Because when we're in a common ministry, the world changes. So in Acts of Thrive, we begin to think about what is God calling us to in a common ministry as a church to change the culture in which we live. And we identified three key areas that we could change in this community. One was our neighbors. That if we just begin to be neighborhood ambassadors, if we got out there and we begin to share Jesus and have conversation with our neighbors, imagine the life-giving thing we can do in every community around this area, Clover and Lake Wylie and beyond and Steel Creek. If we're just engaging our neighbors, lives would change. We would be salt and light. Secondly, we said we should invest and we should change the situation for students and children, particularly those at risk. We said, what would it be if we pushed against that wall, if we all joined hands, had common ministry, and we said that the at-risk kids and students in our community that are not likely to graduate from high school by no circumstances of their own, they simply are in situations and circumstances that don't set them up to succeed. What if we intervene and we engage in those communities and we change that scenario, we would change those generations to come? That we should be able to put our foot down and say, not in our community will that happen. And the third one was this. What if we said no one in our community should be hungry? What if we had a food pantry and an ability to feed and connect, which is already growing crazy during this COVID time, and your huge support in the teams that are coming together already affecting over 30,000 meals that have been given since COVID out of this church. You see, when we come together as a community, the world changes. And our communities change. Now we know that Act of Thrive is far more than a building. The building is simply the context that allows the community to breathe in and breathe out. To come together and to come out. Not just for Sundays, but every day. Wouldn't that be awesome? To watch lives change? So we've worked really hard over the last 2 years to define this building, to modernize this space, to add where we needed to, that would find the rhythm of the community coming and going. I want you to take a look. Here's the drawing.
I'd like to reread our key scripture for Act to Thrive. And it's from Acts 2, verse 47, and it reads this. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved.
So my name is Sarah Green, and I work here at Christ the King with children's ministry. And as you saw in the video, and as you see now on the screen behind me, the children's ministry is just going to be such an exciting place as you enter in the far end. You see the new check-in stations. It's very easy for newcomers to know where they need to go. Kids are going to come in, and they're just going to be excited to invite their friends into this space. That theming, the colors, they're carried on down through the hallway, back to the classrooms, just for fun, exciting. Kids know this is my space and I matter. Also, the classrooms are going to be enlarged. They'll be about double the size that they are currently, and then there'll also be new safety standards in place as well. At both ends of the children's hallway, there will be safety doors that can be locked down during children's ministry hours at 9:30 and 11 o'clock, as well as during our weekday preschool throughout the week. So we're really excited about all those things, as well as the indoor playground, which will just invite families to come in, as Pastor Craig mentioned, just to provide this space for families to be able to come in, to engage, and to find this place where they belong.
Yeah, and I'm Kyle, the youth director here at Christ King Church. And as you saw, the Youth and Kids Center, it's still going to be in that shared space, but totally upgraded. And so we're super excited about having a new place with a bunch of needed upgrades with technology, with spacing, with so much that's involved with that, while also having a fun space to build relationships, to have fun, to release some steam, to invite friends, middle schoolers and high schoolers, too, as well. And then potentially even having a rock wall for a space to just have fun, have excitement, but also open up doors for maybe outreach opportunities, for climbing days for the community, or for students to come to after school, and just a lot of endless possibilities that we're potentially looking at as well. And then having the coffee shop for the youth to be able to enjoy while they're having youth group just to themselves during the youth group times. And so to come in and have food and drinks if they want, or just having those sweet hangout spots that are just comfortable, inviting, and welcoming, and pretty cool just to welcome in just for them during those youth group times is going to be pretty amazing. And then we also get to have some new small group spaces that are going to be shared spaces with a couple different ministries as we currently do. And just having new spaces where that's where the life of discipleship, of devotions, of Bible study, of prayer, and of those relationships just coming to follow Jesus with other people their age really start to thrive. And that's really the foundation of our youth ministry, is those small groups. And so having those shared new spaces for small groups to just be incredible and just be welcoming and engage in spiritual growth with other people their age is just going to be really exciting, really fun. And so we're really just looking forward to all those things for our youth.
Wow. My name is Trevor Yorick, and this is Michelle. So we are just so excited for the gathering place and the new cafe. Just like the rest of CTK, we are passionate about inviting people onto this property to hear the life-giving message of Jesus.
Yeah, I think you probably have noticed that there's not a space here in this area that is a common gathering place for folks to be able to come that's open, that's safe, that's warm and inviting.
And that's exactly what Act to Thrive is all about. The renovations that we're going to see are going to transform this place into a warm and welcoming environment that our community is going to want to be part of. And what's even better is we as a church family are going to want to invite people into this place also.
So as we were talking through this, I was really thinking, and I want you to imagine this. So you go into a space for the very first time. You're new there. But you go in and you feel welcomed. You feel safe. You feel like you belong there. When that happens, you become more open. You're open to opportunities. You're open to conversations, right? The barriers that you would normally take into a new space with you, those barriers will naturally get broken down. And that is what is the future of these spaces, and that's why we're so excited. It's going to be this warm, inviting, safe space for you to come into, for you to bring your friends and family into. And when they come in and they feel safe like that, and they're really open and those barriers are broken down, they are going to be more open to truly hear that life-giving message of Jesus. And let's face it, that is what we are about here at Christ the King.
And just imagine in our post-COVID world, when that time comes, those stories that Pastor Craig shared of people needing community. They need to come back together. And my wife is one of those for sure. So Christ the King is going to be that place in this community where people are going to want to gather.
I look at these pictures and I'm so excited, not just for myself, but for the community to come to a place where it's not about making a profit, it's about making a profit of Jesus in this community. So we're so excited to share this with everyone in the community.
That's incredible, you guys. I'm so excited. Hey, guys, I'm Abigail, and I'm on the worship team here. So I'm super passionate about worship. I'm actually currently enrolled in a Bible college studying worship stuff right now. And so you can probably guess that my favorite part of this whole Act to Thrive project is this space that we're sitting in right now, the worship center. So this place is going to be completely redone. I mean, it's still going to be the same, but it's going to be different. It's going to be awesomer. Yeah, that's a word. So you guys can tell just by driving down the road here with how bad traffic gets on certain days and stuff like that. I mean, this area is just booming, and it's an incredible place to be. And we know that we can worship anywhere. God doesn't care where we worship as long as, you know, we're worshiping him. But it's just going to be an awesome area, like just transforming the atmosphere so that we can better focus on the Lord and so that we can better reach and serve our community. People, we just want to draw people into this space and then just worship with them, no distractions, just with like upgraded technologies and things that will just help us better focus on Christ. And I'm just so excited because I think this is just going to be what Craig was saying about his vision for the ministry of CTK and just being a place where people can come and feel comfortable and feel welcomed no matter where they're from, no matter what their economic class is, no matter their ethnicity, no matter who you are. We want this to be a place where you can just come and rest in God's presence and worship him. So yeah, I'm so excited. I hope you guys are too.
Yeah, and whether it's students or children, which you saw in the other room, or it's adults in this room for worship, it still goes back to the vision. And that vision was that God had laid on our heart, was looking at the people and what the people looked like and what were they doing. They're worshiping. And many times when we gather together in community, we learn to worship. We learn what it is to humble ourselves before an amazing God who owns everything, who has all things, and who calls us into the power of his presence to be transformed. And I think much more of that's going to be happening. And that little baptismal pool that was over here that looked like the water, looked like Lake Oahe water, a little brown, that's an immersion pool. So we get a chance as lives are transformed to be baptized and have lives changed. It's going to be powerful. Isn't that cool? God is good. Act to Thrive. That's what we're about.
They were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved.
Day by day. So what are our next steps? We're right here on the cusp. All the designs are finished. The builders are ready. Any moment we can take it to bid. So I'd ask you to pray. Pray for this time. All this 2 years of work, here we are right at the cusp. Secondly, I ask you to learn. A lot of you are new to Christ the King over the last 2 years. This is brand new to you, what you're hearing. You've never even heard the vision, never even seen anything like it. For those of you who had already pledged and given toward this and have helped the process begin, thank you. But not even you have seen the reveals, because before it was just a concept. You gave without even knowing what it was going to be, what it was going to look like. I praise God for you front runners. You're awesome. As you leave the worship today, there's some still pictures of what you saw on the screen. There'll be people that you can talk to and ask. You can go to our website. It's all now updated. You go on that front homepage, you'll see a section that says Act to Thrive. Click on it. And you'll see all the pictures and the videos and images right there for you to learn more. Third, give. As God is calling you. This project isn't fully funded. Yes, we've had some really lead givers that have been out there from the very beginning for the past year so we can get started and going. We were able over this past year to move this project literally from $5 million down to $2.5 million. And we still were able to accomplish the primary things that God wants us to call. We can move forward when it's fully funded. You know right now, now's a great time to build. It's not a great time to loan from banks, is it? It'll be up to us, but God's doing an amazing work. So just begin to ask, how can I help? And we can start now. Just shoot us an email, shoot us a note. How can I help? I want to be a part of it. And we'll send some notes out over this past month, 2 months, and let you know specifically how we can go. But just begin the process. Let us know. We want to be engaged with you. It's an exciting time to be the church. Thank you. For those who've already been doing it, thank you. For those who are joining in, thank you. And I pray that now that we can see what God is placing before us in this community, that it'll take us to the next level, and it's going to be exciting. We're right on the cusp of it, even in the midst of COVID. Is God not good or what? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your blessing. We thank you for what you've been doing through this community. You prepared us for a time such as this. And right before us, this is an incredible opportunity to be this church of Acts that you've called us to be. A daily rhythm of engaging in the life of community, in the church, the ebb and flow of life-giving, and the power of your presence. Father, we thank you for that privilege. Guide us forward as we pray. Speak to our hearts. Show us as the church even more vision of what you're calling us to be. Change lives through us as we are salt and light. Let us be life-giving in the people you've called us to be. Father, we pray for our world. We pray our community. We pray that you would resource us to move forward in every way. We thank you for the love you pour in our hearts that we can pour out. God, you're good. Most of all, we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Be in prayer for those who are joining the church today and being part of that. For those being baptized this afternoon, let's give them a big praise. Round of applause. Exciting times. And for those of you watching online, good to have you with us. Engage with us. Let us know where you are. We look forward to these next months and weeks together. God's grace. See you next time.